from Romans chapter 8. You can tell Brother Brian it's his fault. Amen. God's good, ain't he? For a springboard tonight, a text verse, let's look at verse number 14. And spring off of that tonight, and I want to show you some things in the chapter that I trust will be a blessing to you. How many of y'all love the book of Romans? I was looking at Romans 1 just recently again. I remember when the Lord spoke to my heart over there about the crowd that's going into sodomy. He gave them up. He gave them up. And then the Bible said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. For years, I didn't know whether a sodomite could be saved or not. But I'll say this. God knows. And the Bible said in the book of Corinthians, listen to me carefully, the Bible said that they were effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. And then he said, such were some of you. But you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. But I want to say this tonight. If God ever gives you over, it's done. Amen. I don't know where people are in that mess in the process, but I know this. If God ever gives you over, beloved, you're done. Amen. You can't be saved after you've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Watch what the Bible said here in verse 14. The Bible said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's a problem in the world today when so many people say that they're saved. I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. But they're not led by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, there's a problem. Amen. Anybody can get sideways for a little while with God, get out of fellowship with God, get caught up in some sin or something like that. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God's sheep are not going to waller in the mud. Amen. God's got a rod. He's going to get his sheep out of the mud. Say amen. And I appreciate him doing that. Pray with me for just a moment. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray now, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd take control of my lips and Lord, my thought process. God, I know you've spoke to my heart as I studied, as I prepared. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd bring that spirit of the study into this meeting tonight. And God, that you bless our hearts together. And Lord, we could leave here tonight saying it's been good, real good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, dear Father, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, there's a remnant, our Father people in this world that love you, that, Lord, want to serve you till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if we're going to have a holy new year, I believe God has a recipe for us right here in Romans chapter 8, and I want to show it to you tonight. We'll be all over this chapter. The first thing I saw in the chapter is we ought to be holy in the new year, number one, because we have the Spirit to lead us. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Beloved, I don't believe this doctrine that you come and get saved and then come back week after week or year after year seeking the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe if you left the altar without the Holy Ghost, you left the altar unsaved. I believe that the Lord gives us the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, he seals us the very moment that we trust Christ as our Savior. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. By the way, let me just say this. The doctrine of being Spirit-filled or filled with the Spirit is not about you and I getting more of the Spirit. We got all of the Holy Ghost we're ever going to get the day we got saved. But being Spirit-filled is about him getting more of us. Say amen. It's about bringing under subjection our life to the Lord. Amen. And so there's several things here that we have the Spirit to lead us. Number one, we have the Spirit to lead us in our walk. I say number one, I've got three things, and there's five things under number one, five things under number two, three things under number three. I don't know how many things that is, but it's quite a few. So let's go. Amen. Are you ready? First of all, in our walk, if you look at verse number one down through verse number 13, I'm not going to read all the verses tonight, but the Bible said there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many believes the Spirit of God will lead us in our walk? The Bible said that Noah walked with God. Ain't that right? Amen. Enoch walked with God. And you have many people down through the years that have walked with God. And no doubt that sitting here in this room tonight, there's somebody that walked with God that had an influence in our life. And we knew they were walking with God. We could see the difference in their life. It wasn't that they were arrogant, but they were different, amen? And God made them different. And by the way, the Bible said God put a difference in the Old Testament between the children of Israel and the Egyptians, and God still makes a difference between his people in every generation and this world that we live in, amen? We're a peculiar people, a holy nation, amen? And we're supposed to walk in such a way. So God makes a difference in our walk. The Bible said the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, watch it again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'll tell you something right now. A child of God is capable of walking after the flesh. But a child of God that's walking after the flesh will neither be holy nor happy. I can promise you that tonight. Amen. God has set it up that way. Amen. If we're going to fellowship with God, we have to walk after the Spirit. After the Spirit of the living God. There's much more that we could say down through these verses tonight. But I believe that's good enough to get that point across. In our walk, we have the Spirit to lead us in our walk. But then secondly, we have the Spirit to lead us in his witness. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't know. I thought I'd put this down somewhere, but I'm going to go ahead and share this right here. How many knows what it means to bear witness? Have you ever talked to somebody and you didn't talk to them very long and you found out you had a common bond and that the witness between the Spirit of God went back and forth between you and that person? Well, I want to just say this tonight. When I stand here tonight and tell you, thank God I'm saved, I'm glad there's a witness down inside of me that says amen. Amen. Listen, I know what it is to live without the witness, and I know what it is to live with the witness. I know what it is those years when somebody would say, are you saved? And I would say, yes. And there was no witness living down inside of me. I didn't know what was wrong. I believed all the facts. I believed Jesus died. The Bible's the Word of God. He rose again the third day. He's coming back one day. I didn't know why there was no witness inside. But I'll tell you, I know why now. I wasn't born again. See, when you're born again of the Spirit of God takes up his abode in you, and you can tell somebody you're saved, and the Holy Ghost will say, glory to God, that's right, amen. I'm glad he'll never say, glory to God, that's right, if it ain't right. We have the witness in us, and so we ought to be holy, we ought to be happy. We have the Spirit to lead us in our walk, but he also leads us in his witness. And then we have the Spirit of God to lead us in our weight. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, why did the Bible say he sealed us until the day of redemption? There'll be no need for a seal after that. You know what we're waiting on? The day of redemption. You know what's going to happen on the day of redemption? We're going to be like Christ. We'll no longer have the world to fight and the flesh to fight and the devil to fight. Amen? We'll be glorified. Amen? I'll get into that after a while. But listen, until then, we're waiting on our redemption. Watch what the Bible said in verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together unto now. That's why you can read in Isaiah 55, the word of God said, the trees of the field clap their hands. They're waiting to be redeemed. Amen. The whole creation is waiting for this moment of redemption. But the Spirit of God is going to lead us in our walk, in His witness, and in our wait as we wait for Him. The Bible said, for we know the whole creation groans and travails in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Watch this. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I heard a preacher say one time, and I didn't get it when he first said it. He said, I'm just two-thirds saved. I thought to myself, when he said that, you better go back and get another dose. Amen. But what he was talking about, my soul's saved, the spirit's saved, but the body is awaiting that redemption, amen, that's coming for the children of God. And the Bible's talking about the Spirit of God to lead us in our walk, in His witness, in our way. I want to give you this. I think you'll like this. Now, this is where Brother Brian was on Sunday morning. A whole lot of his lesson was about this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But look in verse number 26. He was in verse 28, but he was addressing this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want you to see this tonight. I want you to see that the Spirit of God not only leads us in holiness and happiness in our walk, in His witness, in our way, but thank God He's leading us in our woes. When things aren't going well, say amen. When the bottom falls out, the Spirit of God is still there leading us, amen. He doesn't leave us in that valley. As a matter of fact, I believe it gets sweeter in the valley, say amen. Sweeter in the valley of affliction and conflict that we go through. The Word of God said here, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I'm glad we have a helper. The Word of God teaches us, if you study it out, the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. That means one called alongside to help. Amen. Thank God He's right there. He's a very present help in a time of need. Amen. And so tonight, we ought to have a holy new year because we have the Spirit of God to lead us in our walk, in His witness, in our weight, in our woes. But what about in His will? Look at verse number 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Let me say this to you. You don't ever have to worry about the Holy Ghost making intercession outside of the will of God. You and I might pray sometimes, beloved. Listen, help me tonight. We might not get it right. We might not pray in the will of God sometimes. But I tell you, the Holy Ghost, what the Bible's talking about here in our woes, we get so low we can't even pray. He gets the prayer just right. He makes intercession for us. Amen. And the Word of God said here, for the saints according to the will of God. I like that, don't you? The Bible said this is the confidence, I believe 1 John 5, that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. Isn't it good to know that when the Spirit of God's making intercession for us, He's always making intercession according to His will. Say amen. You'll never find the Spirit of God and the Son of God and God the Father in conflict one with another. Amen. And I'll just add one more, the Word of God. You'll never find the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the Son of God, or the Father in conflict one with another. They're always going in the same direction, at the same speed. And when the Spirit of God is leading, it'll be in the will of God. When the Spirit of God's praying, it'll be in the will of God. So we have the Spirit to lead us. I think that's wonderful, don't you? That ought to cause us to want to have a holy new year. A happy new year, because we have the Spirit of God tonight to lead us. Now, to me, tonight, we ought to just stop once in a while and stand in awe that the likes of Him would take up His abode in the likes of us. I mean, this ain't no time to strut. Say amen. I'm telling you, the God that spoke the universe into existence lives inside of me. That ought to cause me to want to be holy and walk with him throughout this year, whatever time God gives us. Amen. You know, Brother Larry, I might make it to heaven before I get OTD. Say amen. That OTD for you don't know, that's older than dirt. Amen. Brother Larry said, I still got one more year, but he sent me something the other day in a text message. I took the quiz. According to the quiz, I'm already older than dirt. Amen. Amen. I thought I was off the hook, Brother Larry, because I thought you had to know all of them to be older than dirt. You only had to know 10 out of 17. Amen. So I was older than dirt when I took the quiz. Amen. And I don't know what that makes you, Brother Rose. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God to lead us. That's what this chapter is talking about. Secondly tonight, not only do we see the Spirit to lead us, but we have a Father to love us. That ought to cause us to want to be holy tonight throughout this year. You say, preacher, where'd you find that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible set up here, let me see if I can find it. The Bible set up here in verse number 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, watch this now, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's a saying that comes from the lips of a child. I don't know about you tonight, but there's just something about a young'un saying Daddy, or Papa, or Father. And right now with Sawyer, it's Papaw. And Amelia, they both got their own little accent. They're hillbillies in the making, amen. But I tell you, there's just something about it. Well, I just wonder tonight, Brother Gary, if there ain't something about it. When Gary Turbyfield bows his head of a morning, says, Our Father. Think about that for just a minute. Father, ain't that a wonderful thing? Be able to call him Father. Amen. A lot of people in this world, they're trying to teach and they believe in the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. Let me just make a statement about that tonight. We're all God's creation through our first birth, but we can only be God's children through our second birth. That's what this Bible teaches. Amen. You must be born again. Now, if you're down south, they'll put an ED on that born. They'll say, you must be born again. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. Jesus said, you must be born again. He told a very religious man that. It don't matter, beloved, if we're from the palace or from the prison. We still have to be born again to make heaven our home. The Father to love us. Let me show you some things here tonight God spoke to my heart about. Because the Father loves us, the Father makes his children a promise. You see, he makes us a promise for here and a promise for hereafter. Let me just show you what I mean tonight. The promise for here is, verse 28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many believes God meant that? Now watch this now. Don't misinterpret the verse and say God said all things are good. That's just not what it says. It says all things work together for good. You couldn't get Joseph to say, well, I tell you, down here in this pit, it's good. Down here in this prison, it's good. Being falsely accused, it's good. No, Joseph would never tell you all those things are good. He'd tell you the brother lied on him. Amen. The jealousy caused him to get in the pit, and Potiphar's wife lied on him, caused him to get in the prison. Say amen. But I tell you what Joseph would say, God was working the whole time, amen. And he worked it all together for good, amen. I guess one of the greatest illustrations I've ever heard of that is somebody making a biscuit. Miss Eve makes some pretty good biscuits, amen. And she, can I get a witness from the congregation, amen. And it's a pretty good gravy, amen. But I'm going to tell you something about that biscuit. Beloved, you take a teaspoon of flour and put it in your mouth. That ain't no good. A teaspoon of baking soda and put it in your mouth, that ain't no good. Now, some of y'all might like this, but I don't even want a teaspoon of buttermilk put in my mouth. Daddy liked buttermilk. To me, that's rotten milk. Say amen. I mean, it done soured. Why in the world would you drink something that's soured when you could have some good stuff? Amen. Now, listen to me. You take all that and you take it in individual ingredients, and you're going to gag. I'm going to gag on it. Amen. But you give it to somebody who knows what they're doing. Can I tell you this tonight? God knows what he's doing in our lives. It may not all be good, amen, but he's a stirring the pot. He knows the end product, and it's going to be good. God, who loves us so much, he's made us a promise. So when we face this, that, or the other this year, let's just say he's working together. He's working it together for good. You say, preacher, I don't see it. Well, you might be like a illustration I heard one time, Brother Steve, about a little grand youngin down in there, down on the floor, and that grandmother was cross stitching. And that grand youngin said, "Granny, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm making a beautiful picture, honey." He said, "Uh-uh, Granny. Uh-uh." He was looking at the backside. That's back there where the tile, the knots, and it's a mess back there. Say amen. He said, "That ain't beautiful." She said, "Come up here with me." You see, we're looking at it from down here. But he's looking at it from up there. Can I tell you this? I promise you this. You may not see it tonight, but God's painting a beautiful picture in my life. And it's going to take some dark threads, just like it's going to take some light threads. It's going to take some black threads. I don't mean that in a racial tone, but some bad things, just like it's going to take some gold threads to make the picture that God is painting in my life. And so tonight, the Father to love us, the Father makes his children a promise. He makes us a promise for here in verse 28. Look at verse 11. He made us a promise for the hereafter. In verse number 11, the Bible said, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." God didn't just make us a promise for down here. He made us a promise for over yonder too. Say amen. We're going to get up one day after a while. Not only does the Father make his children a promise because he loves them, but the Father gives his children a purpose because he loves them. Look at verse 28 again. "To them who are the called according to his purpose." Can I say this tonight? I believe one of the reasons that there's such a heroin epidemic, prescription drug epidemic, I'm talking about being abused in our country. One of the reasons there's such an alcohol epidemic in our country is because men and women, and sometimes even boys and girls, have no purpose in life. How we ought to thank God that God come along and spoke to our heart and saved us, gave us a reason, Brother Ralph, to get out of bed, a reason to live. Say amen. We're not living our lives this year by accident, but on purpose to bring glory to his name. Amen. That's a blessing. The Father to love us. The Father makes his children a promise. The Father gives his children a purpose. But the Father also sends his children provision. Next time you think about you need something, I want you to think about this. Please look at verse 32 with me for just a minute. How many believes that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son? How many believes that right there? Now, wait a minute. You say, "Now, preacher, what's that got to do with the next time you need something?" Look at verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for the elect." I just thought I'd throw that in there. It needs to be thrown in there some more, don't it? I'm telling you right now, beloved, if a man leaves this world without God and goes to hell, he goes over the blood of Jesus and over the will of God for his life. God didn't make hell for mankind. He made it for the devil and his angels. It has to be enlarged every time a man goes there. That's what I believe. Amen. Hell hath enlarged herself. Beloved, listen. The Bible said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, wait a minute. I'm going to show you something tonight. I believe this will be a blessing to you. We're all guilty of this. We trusted him with our soul, but we have a hard time trusting him with our situation. How many's with me tonight? We trusted him with the most precious thing we'll ever have, and that is our soul. And he said, the same God that spared not his own son, I believe that's what the Bible means when the Bible said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about a name it and claim it gospel. I'm talking about a God that loved us so much to give us his son. He's going to give us what we need. I believe that, don't you? Well, I'm preaching a little bit. But it's good to think about in a new year, in order to be holy and to be happy, you can't be worrying at the same time. Years ago, and I think I've shared, I know I have shared it somewhere along the line, because I think Brother Brian reminded me of it one time. We all need to be reminded. Years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart about the difference between worry and concern. Worry just wrings its hands and frets and says, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Concern takes it to the Lord in prayer. That's why the Bible said, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about it, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think God just showed me something when I quoted that verse. Listen, if we come to him with this need, remembering how he met all them back yonder, and be thankful for them, say amen. Make a blessing, a difference in the blessing in our life. Watch this now. The Father makes his children a promise. He gives his children a purpose. The Father sends his children provision. But the Father sees his children and he protects them. Look at verse 31 with me, please. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, Brother Ralph, I heard Brother Mace preaching one time, you'll like this. And I couldn't say this tonight if I had a bunch of deacons that was aggravating the devil out of me. Say amen. But I can say it tonight because it's never been that way. Here. I need to clear that up. Amen. Brother Ralph, Brother Mays was preaching this text and he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He said, the deacons, bless God, that's who. That's what he said. Amen. I've always tried to teach people there's a difference between a deacon and a deacon. Amen. Thank God I have that liberty tonight, Brother Steve. Amen. And Brother Houston ain't sitting back there wondering if it's him I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. It is him I'm talking about. He's a great deacon. Say amen. What the Bible say here? He sees his children and he protects them. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is he who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Aren't you glad that God protects his children? Amen. I believe tonight, somebody said you can take two brothers and they can fight like dogs. But you let somebody from the outside start on one of them, and all of a sudden, the two brothers team up, say amen. Ain't that right? A And I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have a big brother. Somebody help me. Amen. And I definitely am not talking about government. Amen. But we have a Father in heaven. We have a Savior tonight that loves us and cares about us, is going to protect us along the way. Let me give you this last thing under number two, then we'll get to number three. The Father to love us. This last thing here is the Father loves his children and he persuades them. Look in verse number 38. He said, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels." Let me ask you something tonight. As I'm reading this, are you persuaded? He said, "I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Some would say, "Well, if I believed that, I'd just live however I wanted to live." If you're persuaded tonight, I believe you want to live holy. If you're persuaded that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. If you're persuaded that we're going to stand and give an account of our lives one day after a while when we stand before him. I don't believe the grace of God is a license to live loose. I believe the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously in this present world, right now, right here. The Spirit of God to lead us. We have a Father to love us. But then tonight, the last thing I'll give you tonight, it's on my heart, we have a Savior to lift us. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, first of all, you remember when he lifted you out of the muck? Romans 8 starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. There's therefore now no condemnation to them. You say, "Preacher, were you condemned?" Yes, I was. The Bible said, "He that believeth not is condemned already." When I came to Jesus that night, I was condemned already, dead in trespasses and sin. But I didn't leave condemned, Brother Ralph. I left justified. I've heard some arguments about this, but it was just as if in the sight of God I had never sinned. I'd never been so clean in all of my life as that moment when Jesus took me up in his arms, said, "I forgive you." And he washed me in his own precious blood. The Father tonight plays an important role. The Spirit of God plays an important role. And the Savior of the world plays an important role. No condemnation. I was preparing to preach Brother Ralph, and I thought about Brother Fred when he reached down his hand for me. Brother Fred would say he had to reach way down. There's another gospel song that says, "God, reach way below the bottom for me that night." That's the way I feel about it. I'd done knocked a hole in the bottom, and I was down below the bottom. And I'd spent 6.5 years trying to reach up. But God's hand reached further down than mine could reach up. What a blessing tonight. We have a Savior to lift us. First, he lifted us out of the gutter. Secondly, he lifts us by his grace. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." Now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Not only did he lift us when we were unsaved, but the Bible said a just man falleth 7 times and riseth. Brother Steve, a man don't rise just because he wants to rise. He rises just like he got saved. He don't get saved again, but he rises because there's somebody to take him by the hand and lift him up. Get him back on the right track. That blesses my heart tonight. We have a Savior to lift us out of the gutter. He lifts us by His grace. But I give you this, last but not least tonight. He lifts us to His glory. Look at verse 18. I don't know how it is where you are, but it's good where I'm standing tonight. He said in verse 18, for I reckon, that makes me think Paul was from Virginia, southwest part. That northern part ain't much different than New York. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, I didn't know it. I really didn't know it. But the night God saved me, Brother Rose, He didn't just lift me out of the muck. He didn't just lift me out of hell. But in a moment of time, He lifted me to glory. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. You're not there yet. Well, it all depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to me, I ain't there yet. But if you talk to my Father, it's done. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Watch this with me, please. He lifts us to glory. In verse 21, it talks about a glorious liberty. Look at verse 29 and verse number 30 with me for just a moment. The Bible said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Predestination in the Bible, let me help you with that. Never. It's talking about a sinner. Predestination applies to the children of God. Whom He did foreknow? No, you say, preacher, what's that mean? That means, listen, God knows who will and who won't. I don't. So I'm just supposed to tell everybody. That's exactly right, Brother Cole. God knows. Brother Ralph, the night I got saved, it surprised a lot of people. That morning in Sunday school, Sister Kim, there couldn't be a person on planet Earth that was more shocked than I was. When Brother Brian said, I've gone as far as I can go. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Our Father was not shocked. You say, preacher, what do you mean He lifts us to glory? Look at it with me. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He did also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It was settled, Brother Rose, the night I said yes to Jesus. Christ convicted me of my sin, drew me to Himself. I surrendered. I was tired of sin. I was tired of self. I was tired of guilt. And I came because He bid me to come. I really believe that night, I don't know this for sure, but I believe the first step was it and everything else was just a formality. Because my will, Brother Larry, was broken. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Watch this with me. He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son. God settled before the world was ever spoken to existence that when a man come to Christ and was born again, the day would come he would take on the image of His Son. God already settled that. Watch this now. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, verse 29. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, then He also, does it say will glorify? It says glorified. Let me tell you this real quick. It's 5 minutes after eight. You got just a minute. I'll tell you this real quick, and I'll go. How many of you men are here tonight that were on the pulpit committee? I know Brother Rick Hall's not here. Brother Gary, you were on it. Brother Wayne, you were on it. Okay, there was five men. Brother John was on it. I remember that. Brother Rick Hall. Who was the other one? Was it Brother? Who was the other one, Brother Wayne, Brother Gary? Brother Dan Coakley. Was it Brother Dan on it? Okay.
Okay, now listen to me. That Wednesday night, when God settled it on a Tuesday, what he wanted me to do, that Wednesday night I preached, and I don't know which one of the men on the pulpit committed, but somebody said, we need to talk. I said, yeah, I guess we do. Do you men that are here, do you remember going over here and remember I told you what God had done in my heart? Remember that? Brother Wayne, do you remember me asking you not to speak to your wife about it or anybody else? Now watch this now. Because I wanted to go to Cleveland, Tennessee and tell the president of the Rock of Ages what God had done in my heart. Brother Rose, I didn't want him getting an email or a phone call. Brother Vinoy's fixing to take a church up there. I owe him more than that. And when you're in the will of God, you got nothing to hide. So I begged the men. I said, men, please, don't say nothing to anybody. I said, I'll call you after this is taken care of. I made a phone call. My wife and I drove to Cleveland, Tennessee. We went in the office, Brother Ralph, with Dr. Ellis, the president of the Rock of Ages. You've met him, Brother Colt, haven't you? And Dr. Ellis said, well, Brother Vinoy, that's the way it happens sometimes. A man gets to preaching in a church without a pastor. I mean, you know, that's just the way it happens sometimes. He went on a little bit, and then I told him how God did it. I said, Brother Ellis, this is different. I said, I want you to understand, in the 10 years that I've been with Rock of Ages, I've blocked off as much as 6 months of my calendar, Brother Houston, and give churches everything I had open for 6 months when I wasn't in prison or in another commitment, just helping them on down the road, Brother Houston, because the pastor was sick or the pastor died or the church was without a pastor. I said, this is different. And I explained to him how God did what he did in my heart. And listen to me carefully. I'm going somewhere with this. I didn't plan on telling this tonight, but we had good fellowship, didn't we, honey? It was like revival in that office for about an hour. We just talked back and forth, Brother Steve. We got done, and Brother Ellis prayed for us, prayed with us, prayed for us. And he opened his door, and we were leaving, and he shook my hand. He said, you know what, Brother Vinoy? I said, what's that, Doc? He said, it's a done deal. All I'd done, Brother Steve, nothing had been voted on. All I did was agree to be a candidate. And I wanted them to know that I was going to be a candidate. But he said this, it's a done deal. You want to know why he said that? The Spirit of God convinced him that he was in the makings. And I said all that to say this. When I came to Jesus that night, heaven said, it's a done deal. That was over 30 years ago. But I'm telling you, if I live a year or if I live 30 more years, it's a done deal. It was done that night. Jesus said when he died on the cross, it is finished. And beloved, listen, when I trusted him in the finished work of Calvary, as far as my salvation, as far as my justification, as far as my glorification, it was finished. Now what's not finished is my sanctification. He's still working on me. Brother Fain, I ain't got down the road as far as you have. He don't work on you no more. You done reached that place there, ain't you? He's laughing at me back there. Amen. He's saying, tell another good joke, preacher. Right? Amen. Is there anybody here tonight that he ain't working on you? He's still working on us. Make us what we ought to be. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad we can face a new year? The Spirit of God's right here to lead us. We have a Father that's right here to love us. And we have a Son, the Son of God, that's right here to lift us, Brother Rose. I doubt, Brother Rose, if you and I will make it through this year without getting down somewhere along the way, getting a little discouraged. That truck driving ain't all it's cracked up to be, is it, brother? Amen. Amen.